Well, good morning, friends and neighbors. It is 10 o'clock straight up, and you're listening to Public Radio, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. We are listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Today on the Kenai Conversation Live, we have three women with the Central Peninsula Hospital Auxiliary. I'd spoken with one of them last week about the auxiliary, and piqued my interest, and so I invited her and her friends here, Sue Sanders, along with Susie Smalley and Barb Dilley. Hello, how are you all today?
Fine, thank you.
I just turn your microphones up here. Let me ask again, how are you all today?
I'm fine.
Fine, thanks for having us.
There you go. Well, let's see, did I get everybody's name right?
Correct.
Yep. Excellent. I did make notes.
Okay.
That's the extent of my notes here, because my curiosity about the auxiliary, Sue, if I could ask you, you said it's been around about as long as the hospital, and that's been many decades, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us about the history of the auxiliary to start with, if you could.
Well, Barb knows a lot more about the history than I do, because I'm reasonably new compared to everybody else.
Well, Barb, what's the history of the auxiliary?
Well, a long time ago, for some of us, the auxiliary was started, you'll remember, before we had a hospital here, Dr. Isaac and Dr. Gady used to fly their planes from Seward to Soldotna to deliver babies. And at that time, of course, it was getting to the point where we needed a hospital here. And so in 1967, the auxiliary formed, and what the auxiliary did at that point is quite different from what we do today. There was help needed with inside and outside plumbing and landscaping. They sewed blankets to help the hospital and repaired blankets, that sort of thing. And then, of course, started, which we still do today, bazaars for fundraising. And all this time, they just were the help to get things going. And at one point, Susie was mentioning a little earlier, they had to help with keeping the electricity on, and the money that they made from bazaars did that.
Really?
So that's where we are.
Man. So the hospital started in 1967 at the same time, or was the auxiliary instrumental in getting it going?
Probably a little of each, wouldn't you say?
Some of the names that we don't have in front of us, so I'm not going to use them, I think were the movers and shakers to get the hospital going. And so I think along with getting it going, they must have signed on for a long term, because it was a year-round garage sale to raise money for electricity. And so it was quite above and beyond, but those were pretty powerful, committed women.
Boy, no kidding. Where was the hospital at? Was it the same place?
Same place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that place has been there for 50 years now?
Well, June 21st, 1971 was when Central Peninsula General Hospital opened. We now call it Central Peninsula Hospital. And the Lutheran Hospital and Homes had the hospital with Mr. Wheeler as the first administrator. So, and then his wife was the first president of the auxiliary. So 71 is really, I guess, what we would say the beginning of the hospital as we know it today.
Wow. And so until then, even though that was about 50 years ago, even then at that modern date, people still had to go elsewhere to have babies.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also did sort of like a McDonald's drive-through baby thing, because there were one of the clinics delivered babies, but it was kind of stop by and then take your baby and go, because there wasn't a hospital. And I think if there were complications or anticipated complications, mm-hmm. they would still take them elsewhere. But that was right before we got here. They were delivered them at the clinics, and I'm not sure whose clinic.
Well, I know in out in the bush where I've lived quite a bit, they do that as a matter of course, especially mm-hmm. in areas where the weather is bad, like Kodiak. Sure. You know, if they have druthers, they would send the pregnant mm-hmm. woman to Anchorage, mm-hmm. just in case.
Yeah. And at that time, too, South Peninsula Hospital was in existence, and I have a friend who had had a very difficult delivery. And so when her next child was born, she actually moved down to South Peninsula Hospital so that she would be able to have more help than she had originally in Soldotna.
You know, Homer seems to be a pioneer on a couple of things, hospitals and electricity.
Could be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, just one of the things, when they opened in 71, there were rules, and Sue's going to give you kind of an update on how you get to be a volunteer and what that requires nowadays. But the number four rule for auxiliary people was that conservative, I would guess that would be dress, and your nail polish should match your lipstick.
I never thought to do that.
I know. I think we've kind of let some of those slide.
Have you?
Yeah.
They weren't, did they employ as well, like candy stripers?
Oh,
is that,
yeah.
Sort of the same thing?
Yes.
Well, they were junior volunteers.
Ah.
And also the women were called the pink ladies. Now today when you go to the hospital, you see everybody in a red jacket or a red smock. And those are the volunteers.
Oh, you know, I haven't spent much time at the hospital. I hadn't noticed.
Well, that's a good thing.
If you don't know where you're going and you find somebody dressed in red, they can help you find where you're going.
Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. I have a question about the name of the hospital. But first, let me give the phone number, 283-8414, if you'd like to speak with our panel about the Central Peninsula Hospital Auxiliary or the history of the hospital. Maybe you have something to add. Who knows? Give us a call, 283-8414. Now, the name of the hospital, as you mentioned, it used to be Central Peninsula General Hospital. And that's what it was when I lived here before. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Kodiak. And then I came back, and now all of a sudden it's Central Peninsula Hospital. Why did that change, and what does it mean?
I think the idea of General Hospital was a name given to hospitals around the country as in, I don't want to say enough about that, but as the hospital has evolved, the name was changed to Central Peninsula Hospital, and that wasn't too many years ago.
Within 12.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm going to have to call somebody up down there.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're down there and you're listening at CPH and you know the answer to this conundrum, give us a call. Well, Sue, you were going to talk about the requirements now. Of course, the fingernail polish and the lipstick don't have to match anymore. But
no, but we still need to be conservative. Mm-hmm. We go through training, and our rules and regulations are the same as the hospital personnel. We need short fingernails, and we need to be clean and tidy. And we go through background checks. And we have training on germs and how to deal with different germs and how to clean up after. Mm-hmm. And we have, you can come in and get an application, or you can go online and get an application. Would you like to see this?
Oh, yeah, sure would. The rules about being neat and tidy, I would not be accepted, would I? I look homeless today. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking when I got up this morning. I thought, you know, I'm going to have, you know, important people in the studio today. I should dress nicely. No.
You dress well enough. Thank you very much.
You're dressed well for radio.
Yes. Yeah. I have a face for radio. I've long been told that. It was the first thing my mom ever said to me when I got on the radio. No, I'm kidding. She didn't say that. How many volunteers are there now?
There are about 200.
What?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. And I guess we have like 165 active right now, but generally we have about 200. We have a lot of people that come up in the summer and volunteer. We have snowbird people who go outside for the winter and then aren't here for the winter.
Uh-huh.
And we have the junior program. And they're trying to get it so that the schools will give the kids credit if they work at the hospital.
Oh, sure.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, when I interviewed you last week on the phone, and you mentioned there were so many volunteers, which clearly I forgot because that number is surprisingly large.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the the number of tasks that are available for them is plenty. Nobody's just sitting around twiddling their thumbs when they're volunteering.
No, it's just mind-boggling. All the things that need to be done in the hospital that the hospital personnel do not do. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctors and nurses don't have time to do everything. Right. So we try to fill the gap, and we're trying to help people make their day a little bit better.
You know, and that was the sweetest thing when you explained that about, you know, if you're in the hospital, you're probably not having a good day.
Yeah, so it is really.
Yeah.
But that's life, mm-hmm. you know, and we all have good days and bad days. But if we can smile at somebody and make their day just a little bit better, that's okay, too.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the duties and tasks and what have you that are on the list there?
Well, I don't actually have a list before me, and I would like to qualify.
I have the list.
Clarify here that we have a sign here that people can't see that says, "Let's hear our smile." So that what Sue brought up is really true, and I would be happy to share what my job is there. And one of the most wonderful things is from the menu of volunteer opportunities, you get to choose what you want. You don't have to do something that you're not that you're not inspired to do, or that's not fun for you to do. So
you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Oh, you
We're
don't
volunteers.
Have volunteers. That's yeah. We don't have to do anything, and we yes. And one of the programs that's there is called NODA. It's called No One Dies Alone, and it's run through the chaplains, the head of that program, so that if people are in the hospital and they're very close to the end, either and they have no one from their family to sit with them, or family needs a break, or sometimes even a spouse will want someone to sit with them as they're sitting by their loved one's side. There's a good number of NODA volunteers, and that's some of them, that's their job that they do. That's the one thing they do, and they're on call, and very often it's the middle of the night because that's when there's the least staff and when family needs a rest. So the NODA program is one program that is a wonderful one for us to have.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a pretty strong emotional constitution to be able to volunteer to do that, don't you?
Well, it isn't for everyone, but for those of us who feel that as a calling, it's a gift because it's not a doing job, it's just a being. And when you talk about we don't have to do anything, when you're sitting with someone near the end, sometimes they want scripture read, sometimes there's books, sometimes there's music, but mostly it's just being a presence in the room so that even though they may not be responding, a lot of times people certainly know what's going on, and having somebody with you can be a real comfort.
Oh, wow.
Just another energy in the room is a comfort.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Are those things you've done?
Yes, I do NODA. I also do patient comfort care, which means that I visit patients on the med-surg floor and in infusion center because that's near and dear to my heart as a cancer survivor. And we offer movies, we offer puzzle books, we offer time to sit, we read. I've played, what's that game that adds up to 15? That game?
Oh, cribbage.
Oh, cribbage. Thank you, cribbage. I played cribbage a couple times. One guy changed the rules every single game and always won. And sometimes we just put water in there if they're out of water or whatever. And that's just a door to door calling and visiting with people. So, and the other thing I do when I'm doing that is hand massage. And it's not therapeutic hand massage. I'm not going to cure anybody of anything, but it's physical touch. Great hand lotion and great stories that I can't tell you about wonderful things because when you massage people's hands, it just opens up that conversation at a level that's it's a real gift to me.
Oh wow, I've never considered that.
Well, if I ever see you horizontal, I will come and give you a hand massage.
Okie doke. What are some of the volunteer things you two have done over the years, Barb?
Well, what I do, I'm also a NODA volunteer. I was going to tell you of one instance that happened a couple of years ago. It was in during the day, and someone from MedSurg called down to the volunteer office to see if somebody could come and sit with a lady. And so I went up to sit with her, and her eyes were closed, and then she understood that I was there, and immediately her eyes opened big and she went, "Where's my husband?" And I said, he needed to step out for a little bit and do a couple of things, and he asked me to come and sit with you. And she said, pull your chair right over here. So I did, and I held her hand, and just sitting there for 45 minutes until her husband came back, I held her hand, and that was all she needed to feel comfortable, and she fell sound asleep. It was just a wonderful gift. But on the other days, each day I work in the volunteer office, Monday through Friday, and as Sue mentioned, we are just like employees for safety and security. We each have to have a current TB test. We each have to have an updated background check. Well, these things, with that number of volunteers, keeping everybody on track because you can't hold the paycheck over their heads, that's a big job, and that's part of what we do. Right now, we're getting ready for the Christmas party, which is an invitation to all of the volunteers to be with us for lunch on December 5th. And then we will have our annual review in January, and that is required, again, of everyone who is a volunteer. That means that you go back over all of the stipulations that are part of what it means to be a volunteer, and you sign off that you've done all of this. And as I said, each person is required to do that. So we encourage people to be at the January meeting, because two things can happen. Well, actually three. Lunch is one. but the other is you get to do your annual review while you're there, and you're able to get your TB test. And so those things that are required every year get to be done in one afternoon, and that's wonderful. So our job in the volunteer office is that type of thing, and we do it because we help all of these people who then are doing patient comfort, who are sewing for us, who are doing all kinds of things.
And a large part of the annual review is the confidentiality laws.
Oh.
Which are very important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, all the HIPAA business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, if I give you a hand massage, I'm not allowed to go tell everybody that I gave a hand massage to a famous radio guy.
Or an aging disc jockey.
Neither.
Neither. Sue, how about you? What kind of things do you do as the volunteer?
Well, I'm at the front desk. I greet people every Tuesday afternoon. I help with giving school tours, and they've asked me to do marketing, which is I love to do. And
for the hospital itself.
Yes, that's what we're doing right. That's what we're doing right now for the volunteers
for the auxiliary.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Not the hospital itself, but just for the auxiliary, because most people don't think about the overall picture of a hospital. And I suspect every hospital has an auxiliary. It's always been well known, if you want to work in a hospital, to join their auxiliary anywhere. And but still, we don't think about what is an auxiliary. Well, they do all the little things around the hospital.
Mm-hmm. You know, the dedication required by what appears to be at least a critical mass of people required to do this while meeting the requirements of the hospital, the dedication required seems immense.
Well, it's just nice to get out and help people. It's personally, my little home life is very small now. My children are gone, and I'm not really a homebody. Uh-huh. I'd much rather be out in the community, smiling at people and talking.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so that works for me.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the whole, keeping everybody on task and everybody showing up on time and on the right day and all these things that, might fall to another volunteer but could fall to hospital staff, which is what you're trying to avoid, right? You're
trying to... We have someone in... he would not say he's in charge of us because it's beyond herding cats. It's a whole different situation. But in 2005, the hospital hired the first volunteer coordinator, and that was Elizabeth Wilson, who was subsequently moved to Anchorage. So now Jim Childers, I would say he's in charge of us. I'm not sure how he claims it. But he does the overall coordination, make sure that we're doing the stuff that we need to as being in the hospital to make what we're doing safe for us and for the patients. But the downstairs people, they're downstairs where the hospital started, in the old portion of the hospital, they really make all those things happen. They order supplies for us because we have children. When children come in and have a room, those rooms get decorated before the child gets to the room, so it doesn't look like a hospital room. They coordinate with people who are donating crocheted or knitted items or making pillowcases. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who volunteer for the auxiliary who never set foot in the hospital as a volunteer except to deliver the wonderful things that they're doing for us.
Oh.
So there's another whole level of volunteers.
In addition to that, two things. Number one, scheduling, as you mentioned, is an issue. You know, now who's going to make coffee? All right, every morning, 13 pots of coffee are made that are taken around to various departments in the hospital. Every afternoon, a similar thing happens so that there's warm coffee. And why? Because that offers a convenience for people who are visiting. It also offers compassion, thoughtfulness to have that available for them. And lost my train of thought too, but let me just go on to one other thing that happens at the hospital, and that is, if you've been to many hospitals, you always notice that the hospital gift shop is so well stocked. Well, our hospital's gift shop is probably number one among those. Eve does a wonderful job of doing that, and all of our volunteers that work in the gift shop, again, have to be able to help keep it up, keep it clean, and all of that type of thing. And so there are all kinds of wonderful items in there for new babies. If somebody's having a new child, then you can go there and a small gift for them, or something for one of the patients upstairs.
I always appreciate little gift shops like that when I go to the hospital because, right. You know, I don't know what to get. And, you know, you go to the gift shop at the hospital, it's like, well, I can get one of these.
Yeah.
Pre-cleared for patients.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they have, you know, there's candies and books and cards.
And some fashion items.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a good place to go grab a gift even if you don't have somebody in the hospital because it's small. But most of the things found in there you won't find anywhere else in town. So Eve Thompson is a great shopper.
Yeah, and she says she has something for everybody. And she does. That's how she shops.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the knitting and sewing, though. I remember the history lesson here earlier that blankets were made and such. What kind of things are happening now with knitting and sewing?
One of the things that a lot of our volunteers do is either crochet or knit what we call a prayer shawl. And a prayer shawl is, whenever they come in to us, we wash them so that they're clean and sanitary. But we also package them with a little gift of a poem or a prayer that says somebody's caring for you. And so the chaplains, as going back to what Susie said, when somebody's near the end, the prayer shawl is offered to them as a shawl of comfort and a prayer from folks who are thinking of them. They're used sometimes for patients who are just seriously ill, but they're not going to pass away, and that also makes a difference. Pillowcases, our volunteers are wonderful at making pillowcases, bright colored ones, and those are given a lot of times to children who come in and they're scared to death because they're having their tonsils out or, you know, they're whatever else they have to have. And so the nurses will have a stack of those in day surgery. And then before the child comes in, they'll put this bright pillowcase on their pillow and they can take that home with them. And then baby blankets, burp cloths, all of these things we have made regularly and take them into OB for the new moms. And just at Christmas time, we still have a large number of Christmas stockings, probably enough for this year. We're not sure if we're going to be able to continue that. But anyway, they're big enough that the baby can be put in so that...
they can go home in a Christmas stocking?
So they can go home in a Christmas
cool.
stocking.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, what a picture. That'd be a great photograph.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. There's a young lady I met here in town who, I think I met her at an assembly meeting, but she puts together boxes and stuff for new mothers. Mm-hmm. Did she work with you guys at all?
That's through the Free Thinkers.
Oh, right.
And they put together, we were one of those families where I had to go to Anchorage for a month because we were living in the bush before our child was born. So he started in a wine box. This is a little more sophisticated. It's a box that's actually built. It's like a bassinet kind of thing, and they put all the wonderful amount of supplies in there. It's probably close to $100 worth of supplies in there, and they make those for every baby there. But that's another group that participates in the hospital. They're not part of auxiliary.
Oh, okay. Barb, I hate to tell you this, but it's just about 10:30. I don't want to see you leave, but you did say you had to at this hour. Is there anything you'd like to add before allow you to leave?
yes, I will. One of the things that we do at the end of every year is figure out the number of volunteer hours that we have. So we haven't done it yet for 2018, but last year, we had 19,651 hours volunteered at the hospital. Okay. And there is an independent study that says for every volunteer hour, you should assess $24.14. Okay, what that means to the hospital in terms of gift, I guess you would say, is last year was $474,000. And this is pretty impressive. And our volunteers are all ages, as we said. Our junior volunteers are from 14 to 18. Our adult volunteers are older than that. And last year, our oldest volunteer was 85. I don't know what that is at this point, but we'll double check on that. And the average age of our volunteers is 62.
Yeah. Ah.
So people who would like to volunteer are certainly welcome. And as Sue said, put an application online, and that's easy to do at the Central Peninsula Hospital website. Yes.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you about the demographics of your volunteers.
And our volunteers are mostly from Soldotna, because it's close. Another large group from Kenai, but in addition to that, Sterling, Kasilov, Nikiski. We have one lady who lives in Florida who used to be a volunteer here, and she knits prayer shawls and will send us a box of six prayer shawls every so often. So I guess we could say clear to Florida, we have volunteers.
That's terrific. What about the gender makeup?
Probably the bulk would be women, but we have, that doesn't diminish the number of wonderful male volunteers that we have.
Well, I think once you got rid of the fingernail polish and lipstick rule, men felt more comfortable.
Probably. Thank you.
Let me mention the phone number again, 283-8414, if you'd like to call and talk about the Central Peninsula Hospital Auxiliary or any of the things that associated with that, whether you've been a recipient of the generosity of the auxiliary or you'd have some tales about it, please give us a call, 283-8433. Barb, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Barb Dilley has to take off. I hope she has a great day and happy Thanksgiving.
And to you.
Oh, thank you. That's here's a question. Holidays, hospitals, there are people who are going to be in the hospital over the holidays. That must be a tough time for them and a busy time for volunteers, maybe?
Well, we get our holidays off. I mean, they don't book us to be at the front desk or anything, which is kind of sad in a way, but, we have time with our family that way.
Oh, yeah.
So that people that are in the hospital kind of have to fend for themselves, I guess.
Oh, so no auxiliary on holidays?
No.
Weekends, though, right? And
no.
Clearly overnight.
Only on call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We do a few million other things, like we have pet therapy. So but people bring in dogs and...
Dogs, just dogs.
Yeah, I don't think any... I was going to train a rabbit, but I didn't get around to it. We do Qigong, which is a moving meditation, and it's free to anybody.
Wait, what is it called again?
Qigong. And I do that Wednesday at 10 a.m. in the new tower building. And I'm also, Sandy Hetzler usually does it for the public, and I do it over at Heritage Place. Heritage Place is also with a lot of our volunteers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
there's lots of opportunities at Heritage Place.
Yeah,
they
lots.
Need bingo callers and bingo helpers. They need shoppers. And this is wonderful if men can do this because once a week, they take people shopping who are able to go out. And it's, for some of us who can shop all the time, it's not that exciting. But it's a wonderful opportunity, and they do it one-on-one. You get a personal shopper to travel with you. So that's a great helper thing. And then a lot of other things at Heritage Place, because they have lots of activities going on there. And they do music once a week and singing. And they're kind of a different place for volunteers to be, but very welcomed.
Mm-hmm. And Heritage Place, for our listeners who might not know, is assisted living, right?
I'm not sure if it would actually be termed assisted living, it's a mix of people who, I guess in the olden days it was called convalescents, and then there are the other people who are wandering through with the knee replacements and just doing therapy there. So there's kind of two different threads at Heritage House now, one for folks who they get really good therapy, and so people will stay there 2 or 3 weeks after their surgeries, and then the other people who are, that's more their permanent housing.
Ah, okay.
So, but I don't think it's the term is assisted living, but I can't come up with a better one, so.
Oh, alrighty.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to look at everything on that list there, but, oh, thank you. But I was going to say, it seems... Pretty well organized, and I guess maybe that has to do with being around for 51 years now. You guys got this down pat, but what about these? What's the word I'm looking for? Regarding the volunteers, are they? Do you guys have to carry insurance for yourselves, or does the hospital cover that for you? I mean, there's got to be some liability, right?
Well. No, the hospital takes, one of our volunteers fell and I think broke her arm and went right into, the security just took her right into emergency room and they cover the costs and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it happened on hospital grounds and everything.
Sure.
And if we're very well trained, though, and there are many things that we cannot do and we're trained to know what we cannot do, and what we can do, we're trained to do it properly. So we don't just plop somebody in a wheelchair, the first day and wheel them out to whatever, there's training for everything. And it's really explicit. And when I'm visiting in patients' rooms, I could put a pillow behind their head, but I don't adjust the bed or I don't do anything, but I know how to find the people who do those things. So the volunteers are very well trained, very well cared for, very, very well treated. best, one of the best places I've ever volunteered.
And our and our safety is real high. You know, like they offer free cleats to volunteers at the so that we don't fall.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, those are important. Funny. I don't know if it's funny, but there's a doctor in Kodiak, and every year, I mean, I was down there for 12 years. Every year, the first time it got icy, he would call me up in the morning, and I'd put him on the air, and he'd talk about it's important to get cleats.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. How many folks have gone through the auxiliary over the years? Do you guys have like a master list of all your past members?
I bet somebody does, but can I share about one? I'd like to just the
please.
Marilyn Hershberger was the first auxiliary president, and it's kind of a nice contrast. So there was a continuous yard sale there, you know, to raise funds for electricity. And then every summer, fishermen would come to buy used clothes, and then they would bury them at the end of the season. So we kept the fishing. We were linked with the fishermen. And when the hospital opened, the staff conducted dry runs with imitation patients. And Marilyn, also the auxiliary president, got to be a heart patient. And after the hospital opened, she was called to wash the laundry at home, clean the bedpans, and do anything else that needed doing. So we have come a long way, baby. Here's one significant other little factoid, is she handed Senator Ted Stevens his newborn grandson, who was born at Central Peninsula Hospital.
Oh, wow.
So she was a foundational woman there. So glad to share about her life there.
Is she still about?
You know, I don't know. I'm thinking she would be very old, but of course the Hershberger name still lives here, so somebody does know that. And one of the other things related to the care package to the store, the gift shop, is that there's a little case outside, and that's kind of how the gift shop started. It was just a tiny little case, but now it features an artist of the month. So there are potters, there are jewelry makers, there are wood carvers, or whatever, and they get to have their things in that location, and then when people want to buy them, someone from the gift shop comes out and unlocks it, and so the artists get a chance to display their wares, and it's just another option of shopping there. So,
wow. What are the hours of the gift shop?
10 to 4. There's a question mark at the end, right? 10 to 4!
Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Our fundraisers help raise money for scholarships. So we give, last year we gave $4,000 to high school students and another $10,000 to hospital employees who are wanting to further their education so that they remain employable.
Oh, wow.
So, and you can get those applications probably at the gift shop, and you can also get the applications to volunteer at the gift shop as well as the front desk if you don't want to go online.
I'm reading some of these quotes here. Are these from other volunteers here?
I don't know.
Oh no, wait. It says Irma Bombeck on the bottom.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, she is gone.
But our gift shop helps provide wheelchairs. We buy the wheelchairs for the hospital. They provide the coffee and the snacks throughout the hospital. And last year, they bought a Lucas compression machine, which is a CPR machine, which I would love to go watch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see anybody in it, but I'd love to see how it works.
Wait, so a compression machine, so it does the chest compression.
It does the CPR.
It's as opposed to singing.
Staying Alive.
Staying Alive. Or Another One Bites the Dust is the same beat, but that's not good if someone's conscious.
Ah. Right.
Good job, man. Anyway, so, you know, that's why we need to raise funds, because we put it back into the community, into the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier $474,000, and that was the value of the volunteers, right?
Right.
How much money are you raising, actually raising then, I guess?
Well, not nearly that much.
Oh.
That's a good question. One of the fundraisers that we do just happened, and that's when It's a holiday bazaar, and we invite vendors in, and I think there were 24 vendors, 25 vendors,
21.
And then also we do baked goods, and so the baked goods all goes into scholarship, and a portion of, I would guess, the table price for being there goes there. So, and then we do a couple of book sales that we sponsor during the year as well. So,
which I have lost, but we're trying to get that back up and running in the spring. I think that's in May. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's gifts, gift items. And I hope to get sponsors to do that.
Oh, okay.
Or local vendors that will come in and do that for us.
That brings up a question. Other nonprofits, have to do fundraising as well. Mm-hmm. You haven't worked with companies yet for sponsorship of some of these things before? Is this could be a new thing?
Well, the thing is, I've just come on in the marketing department. Oh. So
our marketing department for the volunteers, we have quite a fine one at the hospital, but our one for the volunteers has just begun. So we're glad that Sue has been willing to take it on, because there are a lot of people who would be wonderful volunteers who would really love to volunteer, but getting the word out to the right people, that's the biggest challenge. So we're really grateful to be here today, because there's probably someone kicking back thinking, man, I could donate. And the people who like work at the front desk, they traditionally work a 3 to 4 hour schedule. So we're not talking about your lifetime. I'm a Thursday afternoon specialist. So that's what I tell people. I never know what's going on, but that's my commitment to the hospital. And then other things happen. We get to help with health fairs too, which is great fun, because the whole community wanders through, and that's a great opportunity for volunteers. Mm-hmm. And I think we're open. There may be other ways to volunteer too. But the youth program is also another one. If it gets so that they can get credit for the Soldotna-based young people, it would be very helpful. And when a young person, I've had them as shadows, when a young person walks into the room with me, there's an extra light that goes on from the patient. I mean, it's just almost as good as bringing in a puppy.
Oh, really?
People just love to see young people and to respond, and they respond to young people. So we're hoping that that will get going so that we can really market that in the schools too.
Yeah, and plus it's good for the kids to get exposed to the hospital and think maybe they might want to work in that situation.
Yes, it can cure them or commit them. I mean, it really is a good chance to go and see whether that's what you want to do.
Wow. It surprises me that people light up when you walk in with kids. I don't know why. It's just like, that's interesting.
Some people like kids.
Yeah.
Funny that.
Go figure.
Well, yeah, take a baby to an assembly room and a meeting and have them run around. People will smile. Some people may not smile. But, I mean, it just brings out the more compassionate side, I think, of people. And I think it's a good plan.
Well, we're talking with two Susans here, Sue Sanders, Suzanne, and then Susie Smalley, with the CPH, Central Peninsula Hospital Auxiliary, which has been around since 1967. So that's 51 years. That's actually longer than the hospital has been here, which is 47 years.
Good math.
There's no guarantee it's right. And if you would like to join in the conversation, we've got about 15 minutes left. Our phone number is 283-8414. If you have questions about volunteering at Central Peninsula Hospital for the auxiliary, give us a call. That is 283-8414. I'm assuming the phones are working, friends.
Well,
there's no guarantee. I haven't gotten a call all week, so maybe not. We'll see. If you do call, we'll get you on the air and talk with these folks, Sue Sanders and Susie Smalley. Susie, you mentioned you did Thursday afternoons. Can people volunteer more,
pick,
I guess,
or?
Oh, yes, and it's possible to volunteer outside of traditional hours too. So if somebody wants to do it in the evening, like ideally, if I lived in Soldotna, I think I'd be volunteering in an evening, because when you do hand massage with people, very often they fall asleep, And sleeping in a hospital, while it might seem like a natural thing, is kind of unnatural sometimes for folks to be able to sleep well. So you can, and then we've had volunteers who volunteered on Saturday as well. So there are, and you could volunteer on Sunday. There really aren't, you wouldn't be making coffee, you wouldn't be greeting, but there are other things that you could be doing.
Yeah, a lot of things could be done for the patients, you know, reading to them, writing letters for them, or just visiting with them. Mm-hmm. And my father was in there, and he spent a lot of time alone talking to himself.
Oh.
And I felt, but I couldn't spend all my time with him.
All right.
Which it would have been nice if somebody just stopped in and visited with him.
Yeah. I talk to myself a lot. I try not to argue with myself, though. That's a bad sign, I think.
When you lose, that's really bad.
We have a phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I was just wondering, do they still offer scholarships?
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
Yes, we do. For medical students or somebody who's interested in going into the medical field. So you can, I'm pretty sure you can pick up those.
And they're offered, I think, for traditionally aged students, as in coming out of high school, or for staff who are just wanting to upgrade or learn things that they would feel like would help their profession. So.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the call. How many scholarships a year do you think you folks give out?
Well, actually, my notes are not very high on that. Oh. But I don't know.
Oh.
I'm going to be honest
with you. Where is Barb when we need her?
Yes, she's somewhere. She should be calling in, right? Filling in these blanks.
Barb, if you're listening while you're driving, pull over and give us a call. Thank you for the call. If anybody else would like to call, 283-8414. How would people find out about the scholarship, say if they're a high school student or a parent of a student?
Well, you could probably call Jim.
And Jim Childers is the volunteer coordinator, so he has a special number, but if you call the hospital, 714-4404, and ask for the volunteer coordinator, then Jim will give you any information you need to have.
Oh, okay. So he would have information about your guys's...
He is our leader.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have another phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Nora. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Nora.
I just wanted to verify how wonderful it is to have all those volunteers at the hospital when you walk in the door. Being a patient and a visitor, it's been really nice to have their smiling faces. And we really appreciate them being there. And the hand massages are very nice and very comforting. And even though people aren't calling in, I know that there are a lot of people that really appreciate all of you. And thank you for being there.
And when you retire, we'll sign you up, Nora.
Yes, I'm planning on it. When I grow up, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much to all of you.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
That was cute.
that was, and she would be a great hospital volunteer. Mm-hmm. And for people who want to be, you know, at the front desk and have that personality and love greeting people, it's just fun to watch, because there's probably not a person that comes in the door that doesn't get eye contact and a smile, and it really is helpful. And the information is wonderful because people can get to the right place. But the, even more important than that is going in, because some people come for lunch at the hospital and everything's pretty much okay with them. But the people who are coming for medical stuff, that's always a little unnerving. And so it's good to have the people out front.
And we're there to help people with the wheelchairs if they need help go anywhere.
You ladies are very popular all of a sudden. We have another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jim Childers.
Oh, hey, Jim, we were just talking about
you. Hi, Jim.
I've been listening, but we've been stuffing envelopes all morning, so we're...
That's another job.
Yeah. But I wanted to answer the question about the scholarships. Last year, we gave out about $18,000 worth of scholarships. $8,000 of it went to two different high school students for $4,000 each, and then there was about $10,000 allotted to hospital employees.
Oh, thank you. I didn't write my notes well enough.
Thank you for listening.
Well, Jim, let me ask you, since I've got you on the line here, how long have you worked with the volunteers here?
I've worked at the hospital for 13 years, but I started off in housekeeping, and I took this position about 6 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you've known these many of the auxiliary members for a long time.
Yeah, I was actually a volunteer when I was in housekeeping 10 years ago, and I was one of the first NOTA volunteers along with Susie.
What? Oh, NOTA, right. Oh, you know, that still just sounds like such a tough job to me.
I think at the time my mom had just passed away, and a friend of mine asked me to do it, and I thought, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. But I was afraid. I didn't know how I was going to handle it. But honestly, I think it helped me heal. It was more of a blessing than a tough job.
Oh, wow.
And the experience that I had, you know, with my mother passing away helped me to be better when I sat with the patient that was passing away.
Oh, sure, sure. Anything else you'd like to add about the auxiliary folks or their mission that we haven't touched on yet here, Jim?
Well, no, I just want to say that this is probably the best group of people that I know of, and I'm proud to be a part of this group, and I couldn't be more happy with my job.
Wow. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Is there a hierarchy of... do you have to work your way up to doing Thursday afternoon, Susie?
No. But there is, you know, we do have an elected board.
Oh, right.
And we have a president and all those. And bless those people who are willing to do any of those jobs, because I'm so beyond that. I love what I do. I will do other things sometimes under duress. But mostly I just choose what I love to do. And if somebody else wanted Thursday, I guess I could renegotiate. But I don't know if I would understand the whole week, because I've been doing it for 13 years.
Oh, really?
Jim and I actually went to the first training together. He was training for the hospital as an employee, and I was training for the hospital as a volunteer. So we've been together a lot. He's a very brave man.
Yeah, dealing with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, we have people who do the schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I was asked to do Wednesday, or I chose to do Wednesday instead of Tuesdays. And I did that last month, but then the Jane who does the scheduling said, no, I need you on Tuesdays. It's like, well, I guess I could do that. I could say no, or I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it works out just fine. And they call and ask you all the time, well, can you do this? Can you fill in here?
One additional item, and maybe because the auxiliary has been embedded in the hospital since it was born, is the staff is wonderful. I mean, and sometimes volunteers in any setting can be a challenge, because if they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, or they step over into the area that they shouldn't be working in. But the staff is very welcoming and is glad to have us there to do some of those things that they really are on the run, and they will get them done, but they don't really have time for them. So they welcome us as, I wouldn't say partners, because on the list of doctor, nurse, CNA, it, you know, keep going. We're kind of on the foundational piece, but they're wonderful.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. We do have time for another call or two if you would like to try to jump in here. We've only got about 5 minutes left. Our number is 283-8414. I'm talking with Sue Sanders and Susie Smalley, who are both with the Central Peninsula Hospital Auxiliary. Sue is the public relations person. What other kind of things are you doing? You're on the radio here.
Well, mostly I'm thinking about how to get the word out, what we do and what we need people, why we need more help. Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, people are not being able to retire as early now as they used to. I guess I was kind of lucky. I lost my job a few years ago and didn't go back. So then I can volunteer. I have time. But, you know.
Are you always looking for volunteers?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, people move. People, they leave for the winter. I left last winter. I'm here this winter. Uh-huh. I may be gone this next summer. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the people who volunteer, a lot of people are busy people who are this is a choice that they've made and it's really important to them. But there's a lot of life going on, we find out. You know, whether you're older or younger, there's a lot of life. So the flexibility that's offered is really helpful, too, because people can come and go and there's always a place for them.
Oh, I like that. Right. No pressure.
That's right.
No pressure volunteering.
Yeah. If you wake up and you're not having a good day, you can call in and tell them you're not going to make it. But, you know, I love doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love doing the Qigong at Heritage Place. I love talking to those people. I give them each a hug. And it just makes it a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys get a sense of paying it forward? You know, hoping that, you know, if you're ever in the situation that, you know, there'll be people there for you?
No.
No.
I hadn't thought about it, but I think it's a wonderful possibility. And Jim was talking about how he got involved with NODA, and I started doing hand massage when my mom was in the hospital right before she died, because that was really the only contact that felt good to her. And it was a tiny hospital down in Washington State. And then she'd say, could you go give a hand massage to Ralph in 401? And could you give a hand massage? There was no fourth floor, 104. And then give one to Sarah's over there, you know, and the other. So that was my first start. And because our hospital is a plain tree hospital, it's patient-centered care. Volunteers are allowed to touch patients, because in many hospitals that I would not be allowed as a volunteer to touch a patient at all.
Right.
And so I kind of hung out in the wind for a while, because I didn't want to do any of the other jobs. I was waiting till I could do hand massage. So it's accommodating, and there is something for everyone.
Wow. Yeah. The not touching the patient seems odd.
Getting them in a wheelchair or whatever, but I actually, you know.
But even then, we don't assist them. We hold the wheelchair, we put the brakes on. They have to get in and out themselves, or their family has to help them.
Oh.
We cannot.
Oh, okay.
Because
we don't want to injure them or us.
Yeah.
There are techniques for that trained people have for getting people in and out of.
No stairs, for one thing.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. But I ended up spending so much time in the hospital with one family member and the other that I really just needed to get another view of the hospital rather than having people sick and dying.
Oh.
And that's another reason why I volunteered.
Uh-huh.
I need humanity. I was with my brother. He was in a coma. I went to have lunch in the cafeteria. This was in Reno. And I ended up sitting next to a table of people I think were employees. And they were laughing and joking, and it was like a breath of fresh air. I needed it so bad. And it was just wonderful. And so if we can bring a breath of fresh air, that's what it's all about.
That's terrific. We are out of time.
Well.
It's did the hour go fast for you?
Yeah, it didn't drag. Thank you very much.
people are usually surprised that an hour has gone by.
She left, it seemed like we got 30 minutes left.
I know.
But after that, it got better.
Yeah.
Yes, no, that worked out great.
I am surprised at how fast it went.
Well, you're a good interviewer. Plus, you learn things.
And you get women together, we're going to chatter.
Yeah. You're just an accessory. We could have done this without you.
But we could have been on air.
That part would have been.
Right. Well, I've been talking. I'm sorry.
I thought you were done with us.
Oh, yeah. I've got to wrap it up and give the ID and the weather and send it back to what on the media, I think, is coming up next. But we've been talking with Sue Sanders and Susie Smalley, and we also had Barb Dilley here earlier. They're all with CPH, Central Peninsula Hospital Auxiliary. And we also had a phone call from Jim Childers as well, who coordinates them. It is just about 11 o'clock. This is a listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL, 91.9 FM, Kenai Saldatna. It's overcast out there, 29 degrees. North wind's about 5. Barometer 29.33. Visibility is good. That's it for here today. We are off tomorrow, Thanksgiving. So I hope you have a good Thanksgiving out there. Stay tuned now for more awesome public radio programming.